Blog Talk Radio.
Spins, what's happening, man? Yeah. I told the whole squad, man.
Yeah.
I say, damn right, I got it, got it. Damn right, I got it, got it. Damn right, I got it, got it. Damn right, I got it.
Hey.
Damn right, I got it, got it. Damn right, I got it, got it. Damn right, I got it, got it. Damn right, I got it.
Hey.
I say, lame nigga, be quiet. Lame nigga, be quiet. Lame nigga, be quiet.
Why?
In the prison of prison, I say, lame nigga, be quiet.
Why?
Lame nigga, be quiet. Lame nigga, be quiet. You in the real nigga prison. I eat your girl up for breakfast. Won't say you no extra. Thank you for with me, cause the real niggas her preference. Drink like I'm from Texas. And you know I stay flexing. And if you don't know, I go by titties with sex. Damn right, I got it, got it. Damn right, I'm potted by the click full of killer, scallop. Please don't get us excited. Fine. Yeah, we're smoking loud. So lame niggas be quiet.
Yeah.
If you fuck with us, we gon' start up a ride.
DJ Spin Addict.
I'ma start
DJ Spin
a ride.
Addict.
Look like expansion.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm from the south side. Her mouth wide, my back loud. My gat loud, I back out and click clack. Pow, pow. Court date, chip trial. My rep is a reptile. Now later, alligators, I step on the work like a stepchild. Pimps up, toes down. Make your girl pull her clothes down. Her hair down and I'm down. Her phone off, so don't die. This right here is that no style. I don't know how I do the shit. I'm true to this. True religion, they taking swag with no permission. All year, it's Gucci season. G's on my belt buckle. Cocaine on my left knuckle. Kill you, bury what's left of you. Damn right, I got it, got it. Damn right, I'm fighting, fighting. Click full of killer, scallop. Please don't get us excited. Fine. Yeah, we're smoking loud. So lame niggas be quiet.
Yeah.
If you fuck with us, we gon' start up a ride. I'ma start a ride. I'ma start a ride.
Yeah.
I'ma start a ride. I'ma start a ride.
Yeah.
I'ma start a ride. I'ma start a ride. I'ma start a ride. I'ma start a ride. I am smoked on that gas. Life should be on Cinemax movie. Bought my boo bigger, bigger than a bigger air. Who he's not, I smoke strong in that pie pie. Louis V's in my archive. Black diamonds are part time. Bread up in my top down.
Down.
On the block with a block out. Hit your ass with that block out. Dope enough to go in your nostril.
Yeah.
I take your girl and kidnap her. Feed her to my mattress.
Mattress.
A skeleton in my closet.
Blimey.
It's probably when he's dead and rapping. He's probably when he. Don't try me, I pour that.
Five.
Got your car note in my cup.
Cool.
And your rent in my swisher.
True.
So good, I miss you. Gang, so vicious.
Fish.
And all I get is cheese. Like I'm taking pictures.
Yeah. I say, unless I'm with you, if I take you out of the picture, I know real won't miss you. No lie, yeah. Real, they were. You ain't never told no lie. Real, they were.
a million for they die. What up? 2 Chainz and champagne, you want true, that's true enough. Yeah. Forbes list like, yeah, yeah, my office is my tour bus. She came through, she brought food, she got, she knew what's up. She think I'm the realest out, and I say, damn, that make two of us. Damn. Oh, that look like, what's her name? Chances are it is, what's her name? Chances are if she was acting up, then I f*** the ones and never f*** the game. She can have a Grammy, I still treat her like a nominee. Just need to know what that push like, so one time, it's fine with me. Yeah. Young ass, an intern, the money like I built the shoe. Streets talking, that confirmed, go ask them who just catch you. They keeping my cup full, so I'm extra charged like a state tax. Me and Chainz go way back, we don't talk, we just say facts. Yes, Lord, I say, f*** it unless I'm with you. If I take you out of the picture, I know real grown mission. No lie, no lie, no lie, yeah, yeah. No lie, no lie, no lie, yeah, yeah. Real, say word, you ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie, real, say word. You ain't never told no lie, you ain't never told no lie. Real, they true. You ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie. That's the thing I don't do. Nah, I just do it for the that are trying to see a million for they die. What up?
Name that won't summer. I'll rap his ass. I'll trap his ass. Pour his ass. In a plastic bag with his trash ass. Take him out. Yikes. Bring him in, them whole things. Tupac without a nose ring. Thug life. One wife, a mistress, and a girlfriend. I did what they say I wouldn't.
Tell.
Went where they say I couldn't.
True.
YSL belt buckle. Y'all show it.
I say, f*** it unless I'm with you. If I take you out of the picture, I know real grown mission. No lie, no lie, no lie, yeah, yeah. No lie, no lie, no lie, yeah, yeah. Real, say word. You ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie. Real, say word. You ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie. Real, say true. You ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie. That's the thing I don't do. Nah, I just do it for the that is trying to see a million for they die. What up?
Welcome, listeners. Life is in G-Force. Newfound fans, it's a cut on Global 14 Radio. Streaming live directly to you every Wednesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard, 7 p.m. Central, and 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm your host, Onyx, and I got joining me the co-host, Golden Fleece. What I do?
What's up, homie? What's the deal with you?
Man, you already know, just getting off the job, just getting in, checking in, trying to get the show up and running.
Nah, I can dig it, man. I just left the streets myself running around, man. It's a lot of traffic out there. It was pretty crazy, man. I don't know what's going on. It's like summertime and everybody come outside.
Right. And this is the first time taking it with us. We did just do a whole 2 Chainz joint at the beginning, but we had to get live and in concert. This is G14 Radio, by Global14.com, which is a social networking site of the main street. If you're not familiar with the site, make sure you do go check it out. Head over there, create yourself an account today. They post news, music, parties, and events. A lot of exclusive things and a lot of networking tools and interaction for you to interact with other members and groups and get all involved in that. Golden, I want to ask you, since we have some people listening that's never heard of Global14.com, what do you find most interesting about Global14 thus far?
I mean, Global14, the interaction is excellent, you know. I remember coming on the site when I first started, you know, and basically, you know, looking for people to connect with, looking for people to talk to. And it's kind of like, you know, on other social network sites, if people not really your friends, it's hit or miss whether they're going to talk to you or you can have a conversation with them. You know what I'm saying? They're not just going to, mm-hmm. people not just going to be like, oh, okay, let me have a conversation with this person for no reason. On Global, it's like somebody will start a topic, and then you could chime into it on the thread. So they get to know you by you know what I'm saying? They get to know you by your values. They get to know you by what you think. They get to know you by your opinion on certain topics. And that way people can see whether they jive with you and they feel you or not. You know what I'm saying? It's like you come in on a topic and you say something crazy, they might not want to interact with you. Right. On the topic and you say something that's remotely like how they think, and they be like, oh, okay, this person think like me. But for the most part, it doesn't even matter if people say crazy things. We embrace them too, you know what I'm saying? We like
Absolutely.
All types of opinions, not just people that's just riding with what the crowd say. Have
oh,
your
yeah.
own mind, you can speak it, you know what I'm saying? And Global 14 is a great platform for that. And everybody that joins up, you know, they begin to really deal with each other on a camaraderie basis because you're able to speak about certain topics with each other without it being just you and that person speaking. You know what I'm
that's
saying?
Right.
I think that's real dope.
Well said, homie. Well said. I couldn't agree more. Tonight, speaking of Global 14, also, we hooked up, and now we have G14 Radio to cut. So tonight, two special guests, producer, ghostwriter, Cooler Ruler Divine from Queens, New York. That's Golden Tone State. Shout out to the NY. Also, independent recording artist, Courtesy from Dallas, Texas, the state I grew up in. So we are very excited about both of the guests tonight. We know that they have a lot they're going to share with everyone. And it's interesting to hear what they've got going on, their current projects. I'm just excited about it.
Yeah, it's always a good look to connect with people that's doing their thing out on their independent scene, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You could get to know these people before you start hearing them in the big blogs, the big, you know, platforms, you know what I'm saying? See what they got going on now, connect with what they got going on now before, you know, you can't get to them, you know what I'm
that's
saying?
Right.
And, you know, that's what I love about the show. We have big fish, we have medium fish, small fish, it doesn't matter. If you're doing
That's
something,
right.
you're trying to come up, we all about giving you a platform to speak. You know what I'm saying? So that's why you got to fucks with the cut.
Yo, Golden, I am riding with you tonight.
I would hope
always.
So, you know what I'm saying? We've been doing this for a while. It wasn't riding.
But you are the homie, and you're so right. And also, if you go ahead and let them know also about the beautiful music segment, I know we haven't done one, but it's still on in effect and on and popping. So if you could let the ladies know how they can get involved in that, that would be great.
Oh, yeah, true indeed. We got a whole new slew of models coming through, probably starting next week, as a matter of fact. You know, I've been working on gathering new women so we can interview. But basically, the beautiful music segment, it's just the aspect of the model, the video vixen, the girls you like to see in the videos, the magazines, you know what I'm saying? You never really get to talk to them. You really never get their perspective on how they view the industry, how they view the entertainment
mm-hmm.
game, the magazines, the rappers' entourages, dating rappers. You know, a lot of these girls go to school, were in the Marines, the Army. A lot of these girls got children. A lot of these girls got a lot of things going on. So it's always great to hear their perspective, their likes, their dislikes, what they like about men, what they don't like about men, you know, if they like women, all types of stuff. We done got into a lot of stuff with them, and it's always intriguing to speak to them and see what they got going on. So if you want to get down with that segment, just hit me up. I'm on Twitter, THAGLUE, and you can hit me on Global 14 as well, the Golden Fleece, you know what I'm saying? So look to hear from you. Look forward to hearing from you. You know what I'm saying? If we haven't heard from you already.
That's right. That's right. Most definitely. And then also to be considered to have your music played, like Golden said, we want to hear from everybody, give them a platform to be featured. But if you just want to get airplay, and sometimes we also do the live song feedback reviews, we'll have guest DJs or guest A&R or just management from labels, make sure you hit me up on Twitter at ONYX254 so I can hook you up with the details that you need. But first, make sure you go to global14.com because I am going to ask you what's your account name is on Global 14. We showing love to all of the lifers out there. So become one so you can get that. Before we bring our guests on tonight, we want to go ahead and list some things that we like to get into here on the cut with the Billboard charts. We like to get into what's hot and what's not. Hot 100 is Call Me Maybe, the Carly Rae Jepsen. Poppin' Radio Charts is Maroon 5 featuring Wiz Khalifa with Payphone. The number one R&B hip-hop song and the number one on the rap song is actually Mercy. Kanye West featuring Big Sean, Pusha T, and 2 Chainz. The number one R&B hip-hop album. And this is with the reporting of the first week sales at 149,000. This is Nas, Life is Good. So it actually did a lot better than his previous albums in 2008 and 2007. So shout out to Nas for having the number one album. Yes, I like that. I really like Nas. So he's definitely
almost a good word for it. A good word for it. Appreciate Nas. You know what I'm saying? Nas
yeah.
Like, we really like Nas. We appreciate Nas.
Yeah.
He's been doing the thing so long.
He's kind of on that legend.
Such a great level. You know what I'm saying? The dude is definitely one of hip hop's legends, and see him keep going strong. You know, the numbers are what they are, man. You over you need 150,000 your first week. That's like a success now. So
it is.
It's a success. It hit number one. Shout out to the Nasty One, NAS.
Already. And then also mixtapes that dropped this week. Not a lot, not a slew of them, but we do have Tony Yayo with Sex, Drugs, and Hip Hop. I think we talked about that last week coming out. Obama Bass, Little B, the Bass God. I still haven't heard any of his mixtapes. And Iggy Azalea with her EP, Glory. This actually was new to me. I didn't know she dropped anything, and I really don't follow anything that she does at this moment. So how about you?
No, I could say the same thing. I do not follow what Iggy is doing right now. I'm going to listen to her. I want to definitely see why T.I. felt the need to grab her up.
Yeah.
So, you know, when a person like Tip grabs somebody up, you definitely want to check them out. You know, that guy is becoming a mogul in this game in his own right. So I'm interested to hear what she has. No, I'm going to check out the homie Tony Ayo's. You know, I got love for Lil B and what he does, but I really don't cop Lil B's mixtapes like that. But, you know, I'm not opposed to listening to it. So maybe I'll check Lil B out, you know, on this go-round. I really like Lil B, as a matter of fact. I just never really got all the mixtapes. He's dropping one, like, every month. So sometimes I lose track.
Yeah, no, seriously. And I think he dropped one just the other week, like 2 weeks ago. So, again, like you said, dropping them every month. And here it is, August 1st, and another one has dropped. So I'm kind of the same as you. I haven't really checked him out. Don't really listen to his music. But he has a cult following. I think we talk about that a lot on the show here on The Cut. So shout out to Lil B. Maybe have to get him on there and see what kind of strategies he's using to get these people reeled in. I definitely have a couple questions. We talked about Tony Ayo last week when we went in on the whole 50 Cent situation, or maybe the week before. But definitely shout out to Tony Ayo, and I got to check out that mixtape as well. Well, we will be having Cooler, Lula Divine coming up. Golden, did you want to give any information on him before we go ahead and drop some of his music and see if he's on the line?
Oh, most definitely. Well, we got Kula Lula coming up, man. Rosedale, Queens native, Southside Jamaica. You know, these guys, Kula's been doing this thing for people that don't know. They're going to find out now. I just let you know, dude has been responsible for bringing Onyx out. Wrote your favorite songs for the Lost Boys. Some of those songs have been, hooks have been written by Kula, beats and everything. You know, this dude has been down with a lot of influential rap groups, you know what I'm saying, that have come out and blazed the trail. So it's going to be very interesting to talk to him and get his insight on what he's been through and from the past till now.
Yeah, definitely. And I wanted to ask you also, I think I mentioned to you a little bit early, being from the New York area, Queens, New York, growing up with all of that, is that the type of music that you grew up to? Queens,
yeah, well, I'm from Hempstead, right by Queens, and that's exactly the type of music we came up on. And, you know, when you come up on, you know, that type of music, even from way back, you know what I'm saying, you're influenced by that music. That music shapes and molds anything you do as in today's music, you know what I'm saying? From, like, if you're a producer and you came up on those music, like Kula sent a picture over, and I just noticed everything in the picture is nostalgic to anybody that came up in that era, the ASR-10, the MPC, the Akai MPC, the SP-1200s, where those gritty drums came from Mobb Deep, where the ill shit came from Lost Boys and Onyx. You all know those sounds because you grew up on that stuff, especially if you was in the game. So, definitely. All of that is, like, in you. It's not just something that you hear and you're like, oh, okay, nah, that's, like, embedded because it's just, it was all around you and it was so influential.
Absolutely.
say what?
I'm excited about the interview. I can't wait to hear exactly what he has to say and how he got reached out to everybody. I think we're still waiting for him to get on the line, and while we are doing that, did you have any news that you came across this week that was just like, oh, I can't wait to talk about this Wednesday? Any topic?
Man, there was a few things that I did come across, man. You know, the whole Chris Brown, Frank Ocean thing I wanted to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I know we dived into the Frank Ocean thing, and a lot of people showing, you know, Frank Ocean a lot of love. But there's some people out there that got their own opinions, and their opinions is just like being jumped on, like, you know. Like,
wow.
That's fucked up, man. You got to ride with Frank, you know what I'm saying? Not saying that. He didn't even say he's not riding with Frank. He just said no homo when somebody asked him a question. You know what I'm saying?
And
that just sparked like a whole backlash. You know what I'm saying? And it's real weird, man, because I would like to hear a lot of people's takes on what they think about the whole Frank Ocean thing, because you got guys that have been saying like no homo and slurring gay shit in their raps for years that you see in pictures now, dapping the dude up, hugging him. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I respect that. I respect that. And it was like, well, shit, you never respected it all through your career.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
now that
you would derogatorily talk about somebody like, you faggot, you gay nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
That was like the shit not to be. And now, at this time, it's kind of like, yo, you the nigga, my nigga. I'm going to respect you for coming out and doing your thing. And I don't knock it. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I wonder how people change their stance on it when they've been shitting on it for so long. You know what I'm saying? So that was an intriguing thing I came across that I wanted to talk about.
And that was a good thing that you brought up. And anybody that has any comments or questions, we definitely encourage those. 760-913-4119. I wanted to get my studio up and running so I can have my background music on and popping like how we do every Wednesday. So hopefully I can get that up and running and shortly. But
definitely an interesting topic, and I do remember that being, I mean, that's all I've been hearing about actually this week, and it's kind of just like, okay, I'm over it, you know?
And let me just say this before you go to the news. I had an opportunity to see Young Jeezy perform. Oh my goodness, this is my first time seeing Young Jeezy. Everybody knows Young Jeezy is one of my favorite rappers. He's now one of my favorite performers. Definitely enjoyed. Oh yeah, I saw El Werner perform. I saw Jeezy perform. I saw, of course, Pleasure P. I've already seen him perform and actually had an opportunity to open for him back in 07 with the you know, the singing. Young Jeezy's performance and the way that he moved the crowd, and I saw Yo Gotti perform, and the way that Young Jeezy captivated the crowd and had everybody all into him was just amazing. To see everybody riding with him, you know, towels in the air, t-shirts in here, and not even thugs. I've seen old white men, you know what I mean, doing lyrics. Yeah, everybody loves Jeezy. So I just was like, shout out to Young Jeezy. Yes, he is. He, salute, put on for the city, all of that. He made you feel so comfortable with him, and he made you feel like you was on the front row wherever you was. So, and I definitely wasn't on the front row. So I would have liked to been. So I just wanted to say that, you know, El Werner also, amazing voice, very beautiful. She did a great job. She actually did Frank Ocean's Thinking About You joint. A lot of people have been doing that. They'll sing their songs and do their thing, and they've been sliding in Frank's song. And normally,
sliding with a Frank Ocean joint.
Yeah, they've been sliding in with a Frank Ocean track. And it's very nice to hear it. The different renditions and the way that it flows with everybody. So, you know, shout out to Frank Ocean. You know, I can see why everybody's giving him that. But, again, back to your thing, I would like to know what everybody thought about that, what Chris Brown said and all of that. It kind of went in one ear and out the other because I'm so used to hearing it. Like you said, I'm used to, you know, everybody says it, so it's like, okay. And I didn't even think nothing of it. But then it kept getting blown up, and I've been hearing it every day now. So I'm like, okay, I guess everybody took it and, you know, took it to that next plateau and is really, you know, wanting to get him for it. So But again,
we'll definitely talk. We have a few topics after the interviews that we'll get into real quick. Another one that I want to definitely talk about is the whole Havoc and Prodigy situation that's going on, the whole Mobb Deep beef that's going on right here. And it's horrible for fans to see what's going on with them two guys. But it's some real shit, so we're going to dive into that too.
Well, what exactly is the forefront of all of that?
Really, just came out of nowhere. Some real bad Twitter rant that Havoc put out probably like a month or two ago, maybe 2 months ago. And it basically was like, you know, this guy just steamrolled his partner, called him gay, saying that he was getting fucked in jail, all types of crazy shit, which we don't even got time to start going into it because we got to do the interviews, but just some shit that you wouldn't say about your friend or your partner. Then he had to retract that he did that, so they made up this big lie about somebody stole his phone and he didn't do the tweets, and now he's coming out and say, yeah, that was me, you know, this is why. So it's a weird situation going on with them right now, but it's sad.
That is sad, and it is a nasty situation. I hate to hear about that, and especially with them two. I mean, they're like brothers, you know what I mean? So, I'm not in their personal life, but just from what I understood and what I've known it to be, they're like family. So, very sad and hurtful and ugly situation right there. Interested to hear more about that. Hopefully, we get cool with Lula Divine on the line right now. He did shoot me a tweet, and so I'm going to try to go ahead and get him on so we can get the interview on and rolling. Definitely we'll have Tennessee coming up with what we can do, actually, is go ahead and just take a quick break so that I can come back with him on the line.
Okay.
And we will do that in just 1 second. So that I can bring up my music here. You know, Blog Talk is infamous for giving you every couple of days or whenever it feels like. Seems like Wednesdays, a technical issue or two. I'll be glad when we can upgrade the system and get away from that.
I don't know what it is, but they got to get it right.
They most definitely have to get it right. We're going to bang Cool a Little Divine on the line shortly, but here is 2 Chainz with a Riot. I will try to get some other music for you guys uploaded. I'm so excited to play some other songs for you, so hopefully I can.
because now their times is all fucked up. You heard?
All right, Google, are you there? Yo, I got Google on the line.
We live?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
All right, all right, all right. It's cool. This is
you
what
you got
it
Google
is
on the line?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I'm on the line. Yo, you hear me?
First of all, let me apologize on behalf of, you know,
man,
I'm
don't
myself
apologize, man. Don't apologize,
Lord,
man.
Talk radio shit. Crazy, man. Technically,
I already know, brother.
I appreciate you for being patient, my brother. We're going to get right into it because I know we lost a lot of time with that. You know what I'm saying? But we appreciate your patience.
I ain't worried. That's what's up.
We got cooler. Mm-hmm. Cooler Divine on Queens, New York, veteran, native, legend out there. They know that man out there, and we're going to get into why. We're going to let everybody know that's listening what's going on with the Cooler Ruler, what he has going on now, what he's been doing, what he has done in the past, so everybody can get familiar with who you are. First of all, I want to start off, Cooler Ruler Divine. Exactly where you from in Queens?
Marsdale. It's Rosedale, but they call it Marsdale. I didn't name it. They named it that.
All right. Marsdale, Queens, Rosedale, familiar with Rosedale. Now, I wanted to get into one question early, and I asked all Queens dudes this. There's so many legends in the game, from moguls to rappers that come from Queens. You got Russell Simmons, cats like, Nas, cats like Lord Boy, Onyx, Shaheen Reed, 50 Cent, you know what I'm saying? Just big name Stout. I think Steve Stout even from Queens, just like Russell Simmons, you know what I'm saying? Just a lot of people, man, like, What is it about Queens that breeds a lot of these guys, man, that come up in the industry and make real heavy contributions to the game?
We see a lot, man. We like a suburban Manhattan. You understand what I'm saying? It's like it's a blend of South Central with some, you know, like we right by the airport, I be trying to say. Like, mad people pass through here to get where they got to go. We right by the beach and by... You know what I'm saying? Like places like Brooklyn, like it's just, I don't know, it's the perfect blend out here. That's all I can say. And we come from under jazz legends and stuff. Excuse me if I get it wrong, but I think it's what's the name? Dizzy Gillespie. What's the name? Ella Fitzgerald. I'm trying to remember her name. I'm sorry, but quite a few used to be from like St. Albans, and that's I guess they probably passing on to their kids that old vibe, that old doo-wop, you know what I mean, type thing, and we just took it into our hip hop music and edged it out. You there? Yo.
He's still there. Golden, you still on the line? I sure am still on the line.
I'm hearing Golden. I hear you, Onyx. You there, Onyx?
Yeah, I'm still here. Hey, Golden, can you hear us?
In the meantime, you can ask me what you want to ask me. More.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Wow. So I just conked out again with Blog Talk. It's all good, man. I ain't even going my Blog Talk rant right now. But we're gonna get right back into the question, man. So how did Cooler Ruler Divine get his start musically on the streets of Queens?
Musically on the streets of Queens, what did I do? I just was one of the few, the very few that was producing at like a very young age, you know what I'm saying? Like, my mom's blessed me. I advise many parents to try to do this to your children. Watch what it is that stands out in their character and their personality and so on, what they like to do, and cater to it. Because when I was 8 years old, she did something amazing, like buy me 2 turntables. You know what I mean? We wasn't rich or nothing like that. My mom's know how to stretch a dollar, though, and she made that happen for me. Because, you know, she used to leave me by the, like, you know, I wasn't really fatherless. I ain't going to say fatherless, but, you know, they were separated, so, you know, my mom's and my pops. So I was with my mom's a lot, and my father was like the radio. You feel what I'm saying? I used to, like, love music and mesmerize, but, like, not necessarily just the music, but the whole radio concept, the setup, you know what I mean? So I always try to translate that. Even to now, I still try to do that, like, create that whole radio, not just the playlist, but the layout, you know what I'm saying? And it has to do with music, has to do with advertising, has to do with everything. That's all in me. It's not just music, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Nah, that's definitely, I'm a big music dude, and it's because of my parents, you know, constantly having music playing, constantly, you know, just beating it in your head, different sounds and, you know, people all around, well-rounded music. So it was real dope. Now, getting back into you producing at an early age, so you get turntables at 8,
And then, of course, from turntables that, you know, a lot of DJs turn into producers just because they start knowing them sounds and break beats and everything like that. When you came up wanting to produce, how did you go about seeking out people that you wanted to hear your music?
Okay. I was one of the few people in the neighborhood that would do that. So everybody would gravitate towards me. You know what I mean?
Okay.
They would hail about me. Like, yo, there's this cat that make beats, and he's like 14 or something. What? Like, first of all, they didn't really know too many producers. So, and, you know, and just, the, you know, just that alone was amazing to them. And then the fact that I was so young. So, like, I just had a lot of, you know, people just passing through, calling my phone and so on. Like, they just want to come see what I got, see if they can get, you know what I mean? Like, I had, in my mother's house, and I don't know if y'all remember the TCF crew. They had a song with Red Hot Love a Tone back in the days called I Think I'm Not the One. They had the little breakdown with Red. It shut the club down with like Red Hot Love a Tone had the verse in the middle like I suppose we should get together and drop our Jabos or whatever. That was the joint. They came to see me for some music and sat in my bed. Like, they walked past my mama's room and everything, you know what I'm saying? Closed the door in the little box room, my room I grew up in from, like, since I was, like, 2, 3, you understand what I'm saying? They sat with me next to my NPC that I just bought, shout out to DJ Sage, and was, like, listening to some beats, you know what I mean? So a lot of stuff like that would go down. I don't know. It got to the point that word of mouth got so big that a good friend of mine, her name was Kamal, she was part of this group called Fauna Clip. They were supposed to be like the new female Onyx. She gravitated towards me too. Not on no romance, nothing. Not on a professional relationship, but I was just good at helping her with what she wanted to do lyrically and so on. That she just had nothing but good things to say about me. And she met, you know how dudes always listen to girls, like, you know, if you're a big name mogul or something like that.
Right.
And a girl walk past you, like, you know what I'm saying? Not necessarily a groupie, but anybody. If a woman, a pretty lady come to you and they say something about somebody, you most likely going to listen to them. So
right.
She was telling them about me, like, yo, they used to call me Dex back then. Yo, this kid Dex, man, I swear he got these joints. Y'all need to check him out. So one day, Randy Allen and Jam Master J called my house, called my mama crib, and said they heard about me. I was, like, frozen on the phone. You know what I'm saying? And they need to hear some music now. What am I doing right now, type thing. It's like nothing, you know what I'm saying? And they came through on the block one summer afternoon, blew it down, like four joints. They had whatever was popping at the time. This was what, it was still in the 90s, so they had like a Saab, a BMW, and like the Audi, and like two other joints. Like, you know, they just came through on the block and, you know, got out the car, Randy Allen, Jam Master J came through my front gate, saw me sitting on the steps, said, you Dex? Yeah. It's like, come through, we want to hear something. You know what I'm saying? And I just have this one beat tape that I carry with me all the time, man. This beat tape went through ups and downs. And it had tape missing, it had the label missing on it and everything. You know what I'm saying? It was partially cracked. You know what I'm saying? That was the same tape I had at the Jam Master J. He just threw it in the car and started playing it. Like, I felt like a lot of the beats was undone, so I started explaining stuff to him. You know what I mean? Like, yo, I don't think this might need some more. He's like, shh. You know what I'm saying? He told me, shh. And he was just listening. He's like, I like this. I'm like, yeah, this is all right. You know what I mean? And matter of fact, he didn't even really say that. He was just moving, bobbing his head and, you know, making his gestures and all that. And then he was like, yo, I'm going to come get you one of these days. Like, you know, whatever days. He said, and we're going to go to the studio and handle this, da-da-da-da-da. I was like, all right, no doubt. He took my, you know, he had my number already. And then it was just countdown to when he came and got me. And that became the Shifty Remix by Onyx. My first internationally distributed record, my first platinum plaque. This was in 1993. I was 19 at the time, and from then on, I was like, yo, I can't stop. I got it. You know what I mean?
Nah, that definitely is a, you know, a real dope story, man. You got cats like Jam Master J, you know, rest in peace to that brother, man. You know, guys coming to your gate, you know what I'm saying, because of word of mouth. Hearing what you feel, hearing your music enough to even give you a chance to say, okay, we want you to come back to the studio. So that means they're feeling it.
And then you get into Onyx realm. And, you know, I want to talk about Onyx a little bit because, you know, Onyx was very influential to a lot of rap groups, man. I mean, you know, even when you had cats, you know, rolling their pants legs up with Timberlands on and shit like that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I really saw that was a core niggas doing that type of shit was Onyx, you know what I'm saying? And it was just like, you know, it might have been cats that did it before, but Onyx was the first ones to me. It was like, yo, I'm rolling both legs up with these boots. You know, niggas got skinny legs and everything, you know what I'm saying? Just still walking with that. And it was just a movement, man. Explain to me, like, what was it being around Sticky, Fredro, Sun Seeds, you know what I'm saying? Those dudes coming up with the type of music they had, because their music was very, like, in your face, get up on you, you know. Actually, kind of like, I would consider it kind of rock rapish back then.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, definitely was that. That's what they were bringing to the table. But it's like, it's not like how you might have thought with me and them. I did know them. I knew Fredro and Sticky. Like, not really coming up, but as, like, I guess you could call it colleagues in the game. Like, there was this one spot on the Avenue named Hot Wax. You know what I'm saying? Where, like, everybody in the game that was from Queens, they went there for some, it's sometime other to buy some music or to play some music for other people. Just to, you know what I mean? Like, we came and test out your tape, your demo or whatever in Hot Wax. And not too far from it was New Tribe, where Fredro and Sticky worked. You know what I'm saying? This is on Jamaica Avenue in Queens. And it's like, a stone's throw distance from each other. And, like, when you go to the Av, when I go to the Av every Saturday or whatever, I would go look at the record wall. I would go play some of my music, listen to some music, and I would stop through New Tribe. And my manager at the time had introduced me to Fredro and Sticky, so that's how I was so cool with them. I could just walk up in there and chat with them. But, it wasn't even that. I knew them on some, like, they used to have dread. They were just always Fredro and Sticky in particular. And I didn't really know Sun C that well. I met him. But they were just always some, I don't know what to call, like, eccentric type dudes. Like, when it was dread. When it was the era of dreads before they had bald heads, their hair was, like, blonde, green, and all that. You know what I'm saying? They used to be, for real. They used to be what you call club heads. The club. Both of them was like dancers, you know what I'm saying, and all that. They was just really them type of dudes. And I'm not saying like they, you know, I'm not.
But
G checking them, saying they was fake or nothing like that. I'm just saying they was, you know, that was the time was, you know, the mad people went through phases. You know what I'm saying? So they went through, you know, so they went through that type of phase, and it just came out like, I think Jam Master J hit them with that concept, that whole Onyx concept, or maybe they had it. Maybe they had it in mind. I believe they had it in mind, and he helped to, you know, to accentuate
human it.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's how that went down.
Now, that's love right there. But, you know, you being around, seeing all of that musical transition and happening, being in the thick of it, you know, I know you have something to do, and you've produced and worked with one of my favorite groups of all times, you know what I'm saying, Lost Boys, man, you know.
Yeah.
The Freaky Tie, man, you know. Mr. Cheeks, a lot of my family knows and ran with those cats, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like when we first heard, you know, Lex Coops, Beamer Benz, and, you know, seeing them in the park and everything like that, it was just, like, real refreshing when they came out. How was it working with the Lost Boys and, you know, Freaky Tie and, you know, being a part of that era? Because that was very influential as well.
Well, I actually learned a lot as a man working with the Lost Boys. Just, you know, just see stuff. Like, I grew up with, like, I never had any physical brothers. Well, you know, I do, but none that's close. Just, you know, my father's side of one. But I had, like, 8 brothers from the hood that I grew up with, you know what I'm saying? And I dealt with them in ways, you know what I'm saying, that like, you know, helped shake me into a man. But outside of that, I never really dealt with nobody besides the Lost Boys family, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, I mean, what can I say about them? They were very unique. They were Queens to the fullest, you know what I'm saying? They really represented what we about out here, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Lost Boys was like, I don't want to call them a gang, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people call them a gang. They're so not a gang, y'all. They're really not. It's a lot more family to it. But if you wanted to judge them as a gang, they like they're the biggest. It's not just Queens. You know what I'm saying?
I'm familiar. You know, when I give that information to certain people that don't know and be like, yo, don't get it confused. You know, that's just not a rap group that, you know, picture them dancing together and, you know what I'm saying? They always do that dance. And I'm like, no. Like, around Queens and
look,
beyond that is no game.
Mr. Cheeks, Freaky Toss, Spick Nights, and Pretty Lou were just spearheading that movement on record for you, on TV and everything. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, they was like the four dudes that always stayed together. That, you know what I'm saying? Like, who's better than them to represent them, whatever.
Right.
And Cheeks was that man in the streets. Cheeks was that man as far as, like, his rhyme skill in them parks. You know what I'm saying? He was the one in requests. He just had them stories and everything. Like, I be trying to tell people, like, Renee, the song Renee, is only one of, like, a whole a library full of them story rhymes that Cheeks had. That's what Cheeks used to do, story rhymes, you know what I'm saying? And, like, I don't know, Renee's just the one that caught, I guess, when she died at the end. It was just a real deep story. But he had a song called Donna, too. On that, who's home? And down and now some joint I produced. And he killed that too. I wish I could release it right now, but you know what I'm saying?
But you're not no stranger to, you know, for the audience listening, you're not no stranger to rap career yourself, not just a producer. You know, you were in a very influential Queens group with, a lot of guys involved in that. You know, some of those guys are my, you know, close personal friends right now.
Yes, sir.
You know, in Quasar Cartel, you know, in the Cartel.
Yes, sir.
You know, I grew up with a lot of cats in the Cartel, maybe, you know, a cool three or four of them that, you know, we came up together when we all met out in Florida, and it was just like a jail process. Like, everybody come from New York, then you meet out in Florida, and then you come up together. But explain a little bit about who Quasar Cartel was and the influence that you got. You guys had your own record deal as well. You Power, right?
Yeah, exactly. See, we was mostly known as Quasar. The whole team, the whole seven groups worth of us was Quasar. And that group, you knew was Quasar Cartel. That was their name. You understand what I'm saying? Like the Cartel of Quasar. And I'm Divine, Power and Spin, what called Quasar on the label, on Universal Records, QSR. That's what they, you know what I mean, sort of like Lost Boys, like how I said Lost Boys, spearheaded the Lost Boys, but they weren't the only Lost Boys. You know what I mean? They didn't even really originate the name on top of that. It was kind of like the same for us. We just represented the whole team on a commercial level. You know what I'm saying? But we would have tried to like bring everybody out, call it Quasar Fam, on some Wu-Tang, on a Wu-Tang kind of mission. You understand what I'm saying? That type of thing. But what's crazy about Quasar Cartel and Quasar Divine Power and Spin Tech is like, yo, it's like this was a double-edged spear. You understand what I'm saying? Like a double-edged sword or whatever you want to call it. Because it's ironic, we were all from New York, but they had migrated down to the South and took over the South. You know what I'm saying? Like on a level, like they hit that radio up, like, you know what I'm saying? I had the, BDS spins on that Chimney Wise record. We was up here doing, we had like four promos for Flex, like every night. He on his 7 o'clock shows, 8 o'clock show, he would play our joints. You know what I'm saying? Just the intros, like a 30-second to like 60-second intro. And then then we had DJ Enough on the morning show playing this Jump On remix we did that was actually pressed up as Wax, and DJs in the clubs and everybody had it. Even on the West Coast, he was playing it. It was the Larry J. Blige song Time. It was on maybe her third album, whatever the case is. The one with Lauryn Hill on the album. You know what I'm saying? We hopped on that record and pressed it up, and Enough played it every morning. And then we did the same thing with Lucy Pearl's Dance Tonight. Red Alert played that faithfully for the whole year of 1998. I know that's a long time ago. But for the whole year of 1998, every day at 5 o'clock, every weekday at 5 o'clock, we could turn on the radio and hear our joint, our remix of Lucy Pearl's Dance Tonight play. You know what I'm saying?
That's
so how, just, you know what I'm
that's
saying? Like, we kind
of, you're getting both sides of it. You're getting, you intervened in the production side in a successful way, you know, through legend like Jam Master Jay. Then when you did the MC thing, you got legends like Red Alert, Enough, all these guys playing your music. So it's like when you put your best foot forward, man, you win at it, and that's definitely a great. A great attribute to have, you know what I'm saying, when you're trying to do anything. And, you know, the reason why I wanted to interview you, you know, definitely to get in the past and how you came to where you are, but you're doing your own auto, like your musical
audio discography.
It's like, I mean, you work with the Lost Boys, Fredro, The Game, Papoose, Estelle, Capone and Noriega, like the list goes on and on of names that people know. So why did you decide to do this? Why did you come to the fact that, you know what, I've done so much. I want the people to know what's up, and I want to give to you my lifetime of music.
Well, I don't want to be cocky enough to call it a legacy, but for lack of better words, I want to say I think I let my legacy drift. Like, I'm trying to do too many other things, try to be, you know, I didn't want to end up being a jack-of-all-trades, master of none.
Right.
So and then a lot of people was kicking my ass, like, yo, you bugging. Like, why don't you know what I'm saying, release some old joints or whatever, or do, you know what I mean? And then it came to one day, Don DeMarco, DJ Don DeMarco, he's very influential too as a DJ. He works, like, right alongside DJ Clue, he's Desert Storm. His team is called Tornado Gang, you know what I'm saying, subsidiary of Desert Storm. We was partying one day, he's practically pushing me on my shoulder, like, Ruler, you bugging. Look what you could do, you know what I'm saying? Come on, let's get this mixtape thing going, let's get the whole, you know what I'm saying, like a kind of, you know, a movement, like even a volume set of all my music, let's put it out, you know what I'm saying, man? People want to hear it, so I was like, man, Don, you right, Don. You know what I'm saying? He's like, it ain't hard, man. He said, niggas be making shit hard, man, shit easy. He said, just make it easy before you knew it. Like, I usually do. Take a little longer than maybe I should to make a full length like CD. Man, I knocked this joint out in like maybe a week or something. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you know,
I was like, wow, yeah, man. I was like, man. And plus, I still got two more volumes ready to go eventually. You know what I'm saying? This is just volume one. So I'm like,
yeah,
you know.
When I say, you know, like legacies and legend, it may not be to everybody out there that's a fan of music, but, you know, I think we all have legacy, you know what I'm saying? We all have something that, you know, trails behind us that we could tell somebody about, you know, and maybe that is a strong word, but at the same time, it means something for when you're trying to tell somebody your new story, where you at now, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
How did you get where you came from, you know what I'm saying? How did you get here? And those names of people that you work with, there's scores of people out there that would wish that they had an opportunity to be around Onyx, Lost Boys, Papoose, The Game, you know, Capone and Noriega. There's scores of kids right now that are coming up hearing about those people, like, wow, I could wish I could have worked with them. And then you got a guy like yourself, you know what I'm saying, that could say, hey, I did. And this is what I learned while I was doing it. Check me out right now. You know what I'm saying? So that's why
Yo,
I definitely wanted this story to be told.
I gotta say this on that note. My older sister told me once. She said, what did she say? Luck is preparation meeting opportunity.
Right.
Like, you prepared for the opportunity. And all I can say is that, I don't know, I guess I loved it. My mom's honed it, helped me with it. You know what I'm saying? At that time that I really needed it when I was really young, and it just set me on a path, and I just kept going, you know, forward with.
Definitely.
It got to a point that everybody knew me for music. It's not, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people I know a lot of rappers and stuff like that rap, but don't nobody know they rap. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or make music. Nobody know they make music. They're just like, what? You make music? Nah, with me, people know that usually from upon meeting me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
like
who I am. So it's like, I just carry it with me. And then, you know, I guess that's how
so
you get places.
Let me ask you this, you know, especially before I bring, you know, the host Onyx on the line, and, you know, she's going to ask you some questions as well. She may have a question or two for you. But
okay.
your new discography is called Fool of Ruler Divine, Music of My Time. Now, when this drops, it's here. Say when people hear it, they say, you know what? We need to get Divine, you know, over here working with us on what we're doing right now. Is there something that you have as a goal in your mind that you want the Music of My Lifetime discography to do for you? Or are you just putting it out there to say, you know what, I'm going to put this out here, see what happens? Or do you have your plan set, like, I'm going to put this out here, then I'm going to do this?
Nah, it started with that, I'm going to put it out and see what happens. But, of course, it turned into, nah, I really, man, this could really, you know what I'm saying? Like, I could really do something big with it. But ultimately, I always, like, it's a, I ain't going to say I want a label. I got a label, practically, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
but I just
right.
want to, you know, I want to solidify it. You know what I'm saying? I really want to bring back a sound as well as making it a new sound. That's why I named my clique Golden Era. You understand
right.
what I'm saying? Because we forever Golden Era. Like,
right.
Golden Era was the hottest time of hip-hop. Okay, so we forever the hottest time of hip-hop. You dig what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So you can call us the Golden Era pretty much. So, yeah, that's what I want to do, man. It's just not about cheap music. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I said on another interview, I said that one thing about the music of today is, like, the lyrics and the content might be getting, like, not, you know, it's just not enough. It's not enough food in the pot.
You know, I got a phrase for it. To me, my phrase that I use is microwave music. It's like, you know, people love food, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
food got
yeah.
so popular to the point that people didn't want to cook it no more the way it's supposed to be cooked, so now we got microwaves and shit like that, you know, to spit it out faster because you know people going to buy it. So, you know, hip-hop is making so much money right now and rap is such a commodity, you know, the business mind and the people behind with the money is like, okay, we got to spit this out faster.
Yeah, that's what happens.
And they put them in a microwave and it's like, okay, boom, let's spit this album out and hope this happens, boom, boom, and that's what happens. It's like, right now, you know, I got my own production company, man, and we're working with people as we speak. And, you know, it's so funny. Sometimes they always come to us and they'd be like, hey, can you make something like this?
Instead of, like, trying to make them mine. Like, you know what I mean? You can do so many other things. It doesn't have to sound like what's on the radio to still have the same effect. Because if you realize, there's always somebody that comes out and leaves the pack. And I'm that type of person that would come out and drop something totally against the grain, but very, you know what I'm saying, something that's just really that of a high caliber. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm not scared to do it. And I think these artists, like a lot of them, are young, and they just don't know much about the game. They don't have that history and experience that I do. You know what I'm saying? So they don't know what to put out. And the safest way is to make it sound like something that's out right now. And so therefore, that's why everything is sounding alike. I'm not
right.
scared of that. See, I put this video out. I wanted to know if y'all seen the video, Music of My Time. You can check it out on YouTube. Just type in Cooler Ruler, right? It's exactly like how it sounds. Cooler Ruler, Music of My Time. It's going to say directed by Matt Cassus and all that. And you're going to see the red. I got the red shirt. But what I'm trying to say is that song is about, it's like basically the concept of it is like I'm talking about my, not really my top five rappers, but my favorite kind of rappers and artists just in general that I miss because of how they came at the game and the type of things they used to do. And then, you know, the track was even some D'Angelo track and all. But what I'm saying is when I put that out, I know the concept was a little different and that, you know, people might mess with the concept. But people, yo, they really, yo, the response I got, like, dude, yo, you just dropped gems. Kid, yo, if they don't, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, wow, like, people really was like, yo, this is incredible.
There's a lot of people that feel the same way. But like your man Don DeMarco was telling you, you got a platform. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So use it. So a lot of people might think the same way, but they don't have a platform to say it to everybody that may feel the same way. So you do. So when people hear you say it, they're like, damn, I feel the same exact way. I miss this. You know, it's the same reason. I was just talking to my man the other day. Same reason people have old school parties. Same reason people have 90s parties. Because there's a certain era of, you know, music that certain people like, and they're going to flock to those different parties. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm glad.
definitely hate that you guys got cut off. I was definitely enjoying myself doing the interview. Blog Talk is going to have a slew of emails from us we hang up this episode because I mean, it's been a couple months since we had this many issues, so I do apologize.
I sent them one too. Let me give me the email address. I sent them one.
I was upset. I'm really intrigued, and I'm going to wait for Golden to get back online, but I'm very intrigued and excited because I really like to hear artists such as yourself, producers such as yourself, people that's been in the game long enough to know what's going on, to give the, you know, kind of say, this is what it's about. This, I've been in this game. This is how it goes. I like that. It's that you're very humble about everything that you've done. And like you said, not to be cocky, but it is somewhat of a lesson. For you to come on the call and have worked with all these producers, especially Jam Master Jay, and be able to give these stories, we love that here on The Cut. It's just, you know, we really appreciate that. And I wanted to ask you, I get to add a little story real quick, but you kind of, Golden calls back in, but you kind of told me a little bit earlier about their name, and I wanted you to break that down for everybody, because I don't know if you had an opportunity to do that yet.
They used to call me Big Dex when I was with the Lost Boys. My name was Big Dex or whatever. And I got Knowledge of Self. What they called Knowledge of Self back in the day. You remember when everybody was on their Black Power, African leather patch wearing and everything. I just learned what it was, you know, about names, and you know that you need to have like a name that wants that you really wanted people to call you so that you could become it. So it's just like I took the you know, Big, turned it into Ruler, and the Dex, and turned it into Divine. So now I'm Ruler Divine. Actually, Ruler Divine, God, Allah, peace, gods and earth. And now, you know, I threw the cool on it to reinvent myself.
Right.
Because, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people say, like, I'm a good listener, I'm a, you know, this and that. Like, I feel I'm cooler than the former rulers, basically. So there I am.
Alrighty. I definitely appreciate you taking the time to sit chat with us. I'm going to try to get Golden connected again. But while we're waiting on him for that, I also wanted to ask you, did you always know, even growing up in the childhood, not growing up in the childhood, but during your childhood, that you wanted to be in the music industry? Was this something that you knew?
I knew from like a long time. I told my fourth grade teacher I was going to make an album. And she said, yeah, all right. You know what I'm saying? I forgot I said that till after, like, I made like a couple, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and I was thinking back to it because I think I was through papers and stuff. And I found like something that I saved. It was a rhyme that I wrote when I think I was in the third, like, again, the third or fourth grade. And like, I was so used to writing rhymes at that age, it was nothing to me. It was so nothing. The teacher told us to write a poem. I was like, I already knew a rhyme was a poem. So I just wrote one of my regular rhymes. You know what I'm saying? It was really, it was that ABC kind of thing. But the stuff I was saying, it was like, in this city, you see such bull. Everywhere you look, it's so pitiful. All right. When I handed it in, the next day I got it back. Teacher wrote on red ink, where did you get this from? See me immediately. Like, what are you talking about? She said I stole it from somewhere and I gave it to her. She even spoke to my mom. My mom was like, oh, you don't know. Like, my son does this. You know what I'm saying? He does this all the time. Like,
right.
Like, you know, he really wrote this. Like, don't get it twisted. I stayed the tape to this day. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, my goodness. So. Isn't that a
trip? Yes, it's really young. And shout out to G.A. and Parley. They my first, well, not my very first rap partner, but they my first rap group. You know what I'm saying? So, and I did a lot with them. I learned, you know, how to. We were almost like a hip hop band almost because, you know what I'm saying? I had the turntables, my man had the keyboard, my other man had the little beat machine. We used to try to just do what we could do, you know what I'm saying?
Let it all go. Well, we want to have you back at a later date and really get more into what's all you've done and what you got coming up right now. If you want to just shout out to everybody. That's listening, and thank you for everybody that's hanging in, because I see that y'all are still listening. I'm just excited about that. I guess everybody like, it's ball time. We already know y'all gonna be back. Can you go ahead and put your networks out there for everybody that doesn't have them already, if everybody is listening and will be listening?
Okay, so on G14, which is popping, by the way. I got on there last night, like, wow. Like, yo, this is crazy. A G14, a cool ruler. Cool, C-O-O-L-E-R-R-U-L-E-R, right? On Twitter, I'm Ruler Divine. I don't Instagram yet, my bad. But on Twitter, I'm Ruler Divine, R-U-L-E-R, D-I-V-I-N-E, not D-E-V-I-N-E, D-I-V-I-N-E. And look up Ruler Divine. There's actually two of us, but I'm sure you'll know which one. You'll see the album cover on mine. And, you know, Revolt Nation, Cool and Ruler Divine. Basically, everything is my name. You know what I'm saying? And they all intertwine, so... Oh, the website is www.itsgoldenera.com. Itsgoldenera.com. The other website is www.lbmafia.com. So, hey, so you're going to find me one way or the other. Or just Google my name. You find something. You know?
Definitely. And that's exactly what I did. You saw I found you on Facebook. And
That's the girl. I was like, oh, she must have been on my... I figured out, like, yo, she must have been on my Reverb Nation or something.
Yeah, no, if you Google, you find it. Google is a beat, I'm telling you.
Yeah,
Google,
it's a beat.
Google brings that resume.
Word up.
Well, again, thank you so much. You've been such a good sport and hung in there with us, and it's just such a ridiculous situation.
Yeah, I'm glad to do it.
I really appreciate it, and I think that's Golden coming on the line right now, probably saying he can't get on, so I'm going to make sure I get him on the line. But again, I want to thank you so much again.
Thanks
for Spotify. Yes, I know you have another joint you do, getting your grind on, hustle on. You got another broadcast. Hopefully, he was the best, even though we had a couple of seconds. I hope you enjoyed yourself tonight with us.
Yo, we can do it again. We can do it again. Please, let's do it again. I'm actually on. Let's do it again.
Already. Let's definitely do it again. And shoot us some more music. We're going to play your joint coming up shortly. I'm getting ready to go ahead and reboot this studio and give Blog Talk a call, actually. So check in with us, and thank you so much again for joining us tonight.
All right. Shout out to y'all on the cut. Shout out to Onyx and the Blue on the cut. From Cool and Ruler Divine. It's
the
music
female
of my
Onyx.
Time. Yeah, the female Onyx.
The new era.
Yeah,
already. Have
all
a good one.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye. Shout out to everybody in the feed and connected with us at the Cool and Ruler Divine. Coming up next, we're going to have Cutty C. Damn, Blog Talk is really tripping tonight. I need y'all to hang in there with me. I'm going to get it up and rolling. I need a couple of minutes to get popping, and we will be back. G4C, we're going to cut.
One more. South Jamaica, we ain't about to take the loss. Ready for more. To be from Queens means to be the best of I and the best of mine. We make the green, put it in the veins. The fiends, they go back to next. I remember the time I used to listen to Fresh Road Rhyme.
Come on the blunt, light it up, take a ride. Take a little trip back to the south side. See the fiends, see the G's drive by. See the place where 50 signs, you're not the J side. Girls on the app, pop the tags. Walking with they bags, niggas looking at they ass. Don't get shook, don't get scared to death. If you run into the niggas on 40 Project. We used to rock in Fantasy Park with my niggas Feng G and Die the Rock. When Lottie Dottie was the shit, Grandmaster Vic. Niggas always start shooting when he scratched the mix. And on the block it was a war with cops. Southside got hot when every Burns got shot. Lakewood and Inwood, the barbershop. Back when PD had to go 325 drop. I'm from the place where crap was born. Before the Rico when the Rockefeller law was born. To be a spring scene was every kid in Queens dream. With every nigga rock, Sir King's the guard jeans.
Yeah.
Rick and Fat, two chicks that used to rap. Yo, I'm taking niggas back to the days of Fat Cat. Lefty and Jazz, real niggas like that. Before 50 had that Southside chatted his back. Before 6 had the law was we kept it alive. We used to battle with my nigga P.I. My nigga Lance, pretty tone. And everybody wanna know when Ty coming home. Red Ty's been top, he's called them Jones. That nigga Long had a lot on 121. Liberty Ad, baby, Wise and Un. Diamond D, the window parties having fun. After the jam, we went to Lucille's. And all the girls from the weed up in $100 bills.
For real, we the greatest of all. South Jamaica. We ain't about to take the loss, see the greatest of all. To be for Queens means to be the best of I and the best of my. We make the Queens, put it in the veins, the beans, they come back the next. South Jamaica, we ain't about to take the loss, see the greatest of all. I remember the time when I used to listen to J-Lo.
Hey, yo, they used to call me Coaches back in the day. We used to snatch lead patches and score BKs. On the Super 96, we blaze. We getting fresh man to man, fuck Dr. J. Catch us up in front of Louis Low on the trees. We take the wings, French fries, Chinese, ICs. Still the same nigga, still up in the game. Nigga, blacks on the wall, still hot as a flame. Nigga, surrounded by hustlers and movie stars. Hot chips from the arm and groovy cars. It all comes from a nigga putting his work in. A chump change nigga need to talk to skeleton. R.I.P. to Paris and Ellaville. My nigga fire star, we holler still. Stop to make a queen, niggas play no games. We do it for community, don't say no names. No need for security, don't fuck in chains. I do a bump, switching lanes, get the brain made.
Yeah, we the greatest of all. South Jamaica, we ain't about to take the loss, see the greatest of all. To be from Queens means to be the best of I and the best of mine. We make the green, put it in the veins, the beans, they come back the next. South Jamaica, we ain't about to take the loss, see the greatest of all. To be from Queens means to be the best of I and the best of mine. We make the green, put it in the veins, the beans, we the greatest of all. South Jamaica, we the greatest of all. We the greatest of all. We the greatest of all. We ain't about to take the loss. We the greatest of all. To be from Queens means to be the best of I and the best of mine. We make the green, put it in the veins. The beans, they come back the next. South Jamaica, we the greatest of all. South Jamaica, we the greatest of all.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That was cool. Kalula Divine, the greatest, featuring Fredo Starr and Mr. Cheeks. I like that. I like that vibe. I like that beat. Definitely not like your blog talk right now, but that's a whole other story.
Oh, man. I mean, that story right there. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in the middle of the interview, it just everything just conked out. And I was
yeah.
just like, wow, again,
yeah.
you don't really do us like that again. And I guess...
Yeah.
Blog talk is just real flagrant and blatant because they don't care
they
how
don't
they sue you. They don't care how
you
they
don't get
sue
no
you.
Warning. You don't get no countdown or nothing. It just bam.
They worse than a thug. They
yes.
worse than a thug. This blog talk is a group of thugs, and they don't care how they cut you off or shit on you. It is what it is.
Blog talk. I want my money or time, but I'm not gonna do nothing for you. And that's just how
wow.
it's crazy. I mean, I'm really disappointed, but I'm not tripping. I know.
I mean, you can never trip. You can
no,
never
it
trip.
It is what it
you
is.
Know
right?
what I'm
it is
cheap.
What it is. Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm definitely not gonna have enough time for any other news, but we can always see that for next week. It doesn't get old. But I am gonna go ahead and do the interview with Tennessee coming up. And
you I can't really hear you. You kind of fading out.
Oh boy, here we go. Don't start. Please don't tell me. But no, I was going to say that's the way they warn you, right? They get you. You get in and out first, and then you get the cutoff.
Right.
But no, I was going to say we can go ahead and do the news next week, homie, because I'm really not feeling the way Blog Talk is doing this. But I definitely want to get Courtesy interviewing. We did a little promo. He's posted on the site, global14.com. Again, if you haven't checked out the site, make sure you go to it, www.global14.com. Jermaine Dupri's social networking site. Great site. You heard Rula talking about how it was popping before he got off the phone. And, yeah, definitely want to check it out and create yourself an account. You can find both Courtesy and Rula Divine on the website. So, get over there.
Definitely, man. And let's get into the Courtesy interview. Like you said, we'll go into some news topics next week and get audience feedback and everything. But let's not, you know, cut in any more his time.
No, absolutely not. I'm going to play his track, and we're going to bring him on live in just a short moment. This is Courtesy with Nothing Like This.
Yeah.
I grew up good life, from a certain point in suburban life at a certain point. So I've seen both sides of the spectrum and both sides, you know, and I've learned a lot, you know, from living in each different environment. And I guess growing up, sometimes it was bad, sometimes it was good. You know, it was a mix. So, I mean, I've pretty much grew up with all nationalities, you know, so I guess that's kind of why you can kind of see the diversity into my music. You know, it's not one way or this way. It's kind of like every different direction.
All right. So, again, kind of tell us how you got into the music, your family into music. I see that your father was a producer. He was in the industry. What was that like, and how did he instill that into you?
That's an interesting question. I like that question because it's always a deep one. For me, I've always wanted to do this in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think I started taking it seriously more when I entered more of the high school time period. But it started since I was young. You know, my father was a producer at the time. He was back doing that 90s gangster rap type music. You know, he was back then, you know, all the Ice Cubes and whole different time period. But so you know, my love for music started from there. But to be honest, as crazy as this sounds, you know, even though I love that type of music, I kinda grew up more with like Michael Jackson type music. Like that was always like my number one influence. That's kind of the guy that pretty much makes me push my energy, you know? Like that's pretty much the guy that kind of makes me focus and wanna do more with the entertainment. So I started very young age. And my family pretty much pushed me. You know, my mother is my manager. My father, producer sometimes, majority of the time. And those are my two focuses, you know, my main focuses.
Okay, all right. So when did you get the name? Where'd you get your stage name from? Tell us about that.
The interesting name. It came from kind of when I was younger. Kind of when I was younger, they used to call me Cut, you know, because my real name is Cecil. Yes, I'm saying my real name out loud. I know I usually don't.
You know, it's exclusive.
So, you know, they used to call me Cut, and then eventually in high school, you know, a lot of people started calling me Cutter. And then eventually, I was like, well, what does that mean to me? And then necessarily what it means to me is the fact that I cut up tracks, you know, making hits, well, trying to make hits, I guess you could say that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it means to me. So it's constantly trying to push the envelope of music and ever trying to evolve it.
All right. Okay, sounds good. Does definitely fit and suits you well. You're very diverse, and we'll get into that a little bit later. And since you talked about actually taking it serious when you graduated high school, when did you first realize that you actually had talent? Because a lot of people take their, you know, talent, what they want to do serious, but it doesn't mean that they're talented or good enough, you know, as far as the masses are concerned. So when did you realize that you had the talent, and what was the feedback?
I'm going to tell you a confusing thing. I don't know if this is, I'm going to be very honest on the show, okay? At first, when I first was doing it, I'm going to say really serious, it was kind of like the music that I was doing was kind of ahead of its time. So to be honest, at first I had mixed feelings because I'm like, well, I don't sound like these guys, and why I can't sound like this and do exactly what they're doing. And a lot of the things that's happening now, I had done 5 years ago, you know, with guitars and with hip-hop and pop and, you know, putting it together. So I was just really ahead of the time, and sometimes you might think that, you know, your style is very different, which it is, but really it might not be the time for you to get. I guess in the last probably four years, I started to realize, okay, I can, I'm going to try to adapt to what's going on in the surroundings of again. And that's not when I realized I have really pushed it. It was like, who you? Because you was what's fun and what's insane. What this is, a physical entertainment, right? So, try to put my best foot forward.
All right, all right. I think you're kind of breaking up just a little bit.
Am I breaking up?
Just a little bit. I think you're being breaking up. Okay, you're good now. but no, that's, I appreciate your honesty and vulnerability in saying that, because a lot of people, because I've been called, I've been, you know, but for you to, but for you to say, you know what, I kind of, you know, I had a little second thought here and there, so I appreciate you for sharing that with us. So you realized you had the talent. People said, man, you are cold, you're really good. When was your first performance and what was that like?
Wow. You know what? I really can't call my first performance. And the you know what? because honestly, I've been performing forever, in a sense. But I'll say this. I'm going to start from, let me give you all a little story. I guess I'm going to give you the inside scoop. When I was a kid, they would, anytime Michael Jackson music would come on, what they would do is put me on a table, right? I'm the smallest little dude ever, right? So they would put me on a table in my socks and just let me go. You know, I'd be like 4 or 5, moonwalking, you know. So, I mean, honestly, this is, you know, day's life. I mean, I'm pretty much been used to it. But I guess I could say my first performance doing my music, probably end of high school. And I think that's kind of where I got my first. And I'll say this to artists out there.
Okay, see, you broke out just a second.
Oh,
so.
Did I break out again?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, let me bring it up. Can you hear me? Got me?
I got you.
Okay, cool. Sorry about that. For artists that's listening or going to listen or whatever's going on, don't be afraid of the stage. You have to embrace it. You know, I'm seeing too many artists now. I know I'm kind of getting upset, but I'm seeing too many artists now not pushing the limits of stage.
Mm-hmm.
The whole point of the music and entertainment is to entertain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now I feel that we're entertaining too much with the negativity and all, you know, this person is with this person. Or this person got busted. We don't care about that. What we care about is giving people these chance to actually show. Get something they never seen. You know, have them talk. I mean, that's the whole point.
That's right. I couldn't agree more. And we do have people listening now as well. And I'm so glad they hung in, because we had a couple of issues earlier with the blog talk joint. Oh, it was just the worst.
What issues? I don't know.
I know, right? What issues? What happened? But no, I really appreciate you sharing that. And that's one of the things that we try to do on this show. This is the perfect platform to share that information, because we have a lot of unsigned artists or people that wanted to enter the industry in some form or aspect. And these are the things that they need to know and hear from someone such as yourself. So you had a lot of performances. And, again, you do have great stage presence and a lot of energy. You give great energy. Even through the phone just now, I know people can tell you have a lot of energy, and it's great. You have a great personality. You're welcome. You're welcome. So what led you to want to, you said your mother's your manager, so what led you to say, you know what, I'm going to do the independent route. I'm not really feeling this major thing. Was it that you weren't feeling it, or did you want to, what was the whole deciding factor in independent versus major?
Well, I guess for me, I know on this subject I can't say too much. But I will say this. I will say that being indie allows me to do what I want. You know, it allows me. Can you hear me? Everybody
mm-hmm.
hear?
Yes.
My bad. I'm just making sure, y'all. I know it allows me to do what I want. It allows me to create whatever care, you know, the feeling I want, whatever, however I feel at that time period. You know, I don't necessarily have someone saying, well, you need to do this, you need to do that. It's kind of, have trust. The fact that I can, you know, that I can go in there and kind of business situation. So I like the indie route. The fact that, you know, I have two daughters. I'm at a point now where I get things done and it's on my own terms. I think that for me, that's me, I get to. through it on my own terms, and that means a lot.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, it is important, and we try to tell people all the time of the difference between independent versus major, or some of the factors to help them kind of decide if I'm going to take this serious and if I'm going to go down this route. I kind of need to educate myself and know what I'm getting into either way. So
I do want to say this for people that's for a lot of artists out there that's eventually going to cross over to the major side or whatever you decide, if you stay indie or whatever you want to do, I want to say that learn your business. You know, like she just said, learn the business before you get in or you will be messed over.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying a lot right now, but I mean, learn the business before you get in. Learn your business. Don't mess yourself over with anybody, really, because you'll regret it. From don't do it.
Yeah.
Then do what you need to do.
Yes. What he said, definitely. And again, you're talking to someone who is an independent artist and definitely has received enough credit. In fact, I want to talk about the Strike Force NNA side of Muhammad. King Mo, you call him. Tell me about that situation and the whole EA Sports deal. That is so interesting and so intriguing and so exciting. And I'm glad I kind of knew about it and didn't just have to read it on the bio. I'm glad I was kind of put onto it. I seen the YouTube clip and all of that. Tell us about how that came about and how you even networked with MMA Fighter, if you did. I mean, King Mo, rather.
Yeah, well, that situation was a very interesting situation. It was a situation where, I honestly can't even take the credit for it. Honestly, God is the one that pretty much set that up. And the reason I say that is because... Okay, make sure everybody can... Okay, yeah. The reason I say that is because King Mo, out in the world, and then he used it as intro. Intro for coming out on the intro, before the fight, kick the body button off. And he looked out. Basically tried to find him. Like, okay, hey, who is this guy? Da, da, da. And then eventually we spoke. We became really great friends. Came beyond just, became very good friends. And then from there, we built a great bond. Great business bond and just a friendship. And right now, think about it is with the EA Sports situation. Can you hear me? Everything's good?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can hear you.
Okay. So with the EA Sports situation, he was given an opportunity to be on a video game. And they asked him, well, you have this theme song coming up every time you come out. What song, is that the song you want to go with? He was like, yeah. And I was like, cool. Yeah.
Yes.
So we pretty much handled the deal, got everything going, and I pretty much broke history for my city. I am the first artist from Dallas, Texas to ever be on an EA, a video game, period.
Right.
So that right there in itself for me is probably one of my biggest accomplishments as just so far.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, that is a huge deal. You always wonder when you're playing, because I do play video games growing up in high school, too. So
right.
I always did wonder, like, aside from Grand Theft, when you just play in the radio joints, where
right.
the music came from. You know, like, if it wasn't known, already on the radio, where it did come from. So that is, like you said, a huge accomplishment, and just congratulations and hats off to you for making such a... awesome song for somebody to want to even take that and say, this is my anthem, this is going to get me right and hyped up. So,
it was a blessing in the situation. And another thing that landed me the situation was the fact that I already had a buzz and name kind of out there, and YouTube views over a million, whatever, and all that. And so from there, that just pretty much solidified the situation.
Absolutely.
That pretty much, It was just great overall. I mean, I think it was cool to have people calling me randomly that know me personally. Like, hey, dude, wait a minute, I'm playing the game and your phone came on. And I'm like, oh, for real? That's cool. I was like, thank you, Jesus. You know,
I mean, it is cool. It's crazy. And it's just, it's very interesting. So you talk about, so you were the first Dallas artist. So you were also the first rap act to perform at the Frisco Freedom Fest. Tell our listeners about that and what that, you know, fest is all about, where it's located, where it's held.
Yes. It's pretty much the northern region of Dallas, pretty much like past the north, pretty much. And then the Frisco Freedom Fest is nuts. It's thousands and thousands of people. And basically, what I usually do is probably every year, because the first year that I ever done it, I destroyed it. Everyone loved me. They want me to come back every year and do it. And I know sometimes I can't be due to the schedule. You know, the schedule sometimes conflicts. But a lot of times I cut out anything I'm doing around that time to go do it, because it's kind of like my ritual.
Right. You
know? It's kind of like my yearly ritual to do it, and it's fun for me. Matter of fact, that's one of my I love stadium type shows. You know, like club thing, it's cool. I'm more of a stadium guy. I like that atmosphere.
Don't worry about that.
Everybody rocking out. I like that.
Cool. So I think that's awesome, especially you saying that you were able to do the stadium performance. I didn't know it was held at the stadium, so that's interesting and good to know. About what time of the year does it come around?
July
4th. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Every
either they do it like July 2nd or the 4th. They usually just switch it. So sometimes, most of the time it's not.
Okay. So, also, you have a couple of other things that you do. You did a lot of community service. I've seen you do a lot of PSAs. I've seen you getting interviewed and being on a lot of news channels and TV news and just a lot of that. How important is it to you to remain a role model within all the success that you're receiving and the club shows that you're still doing and the touring and concerts and CD selling? I've seen kids dancing to yourself and families on YouTube videos, and I just thought it was amazing. How important is it to you to maintain a positive image, and do you think that other rappers or other artists should go ahead and take the toll upon themselves to do the same?
Well, you know what? I think I'm one of the few left who actually care.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds very sad, but a lot of them are at a point where I feel they just don't care anymore. I mean, you know, they care to a certain extent, but my whole thing about it is I feel it's a big responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that every artist that's in the limelight or, you know, has a certain degree of the fame, you should look into actually wanting to be an example. You know, right now it's to the point to where any of the new records, I don't want to do any, there's no cuss words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm trying to attempt to do it with nothing, you know, straight, just pure energy, really making hits. And, you know, I want to be a better example.
Right.
I want to be one of, you know, the people to be a better example and show these kids in this generation that you don't have to be negative. You don't have to do that. You
mm-hmm.
can have fun. You can have fun and just be a good person. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what we're supposed to do. You know, when everybody say, oh, well, I'm not a role model. Look, if you're in a limelight, that's what they're listening to. As sad as it sounds, you know, as much as they should be listening to their teachers, you know, they only listen to them to a certain extent. You know?
Right.
And then they only listen to the parents to a certain extent. So, I hear people always yelling, I'm not a role model, it ain't my job. But guess what? It kind of is. You've been given a responsibility without somebody telling you.
Mm-hmm.
That's your responsibility. And I love it. I love
mm-hmm.
it. I love the fact that I've been given that responsibility because,
yeah.
you know, that's what I feel I was born on this earth to do, was to entertain and to help people. And that's
right.
what you should.
That's right. I totally agree. I couldn't agree more. And I applaud you and thank you for having that, you know, that conviction. And not even have to have that, because that's just who you are and what you're about and what you stand for. So I appreciate you for that, because I have 2 7-year-old boys, and they need to grow up and have somebody other than myself, a female, and their family to look up to in music, because I'm pretty sure they're going to get involved in it some way. So it's nice to see people such as yourself coming up and you know, providing that positive image. What is something about yourself, and this is aside from music, or it could be, that people would be surprised to know?
Wow, you know what? I'm a nerd. I'm just gonna be honest. I'm not even about to say that. I'm not a gangster guy. That's not my forte. I'm a nerd, man. I'm like a computer holic. Like, I can put a laptop in front of me and I can do a lot. Matter of fact, I can do from Photoshop to video editing to make it look like movies to whatever. Like, I know all that.
I don't know if I would consider you a nerd. That's just talent and skill. Like, I don't
know. You know how people are. Let's do anything like that. Like, oh, you're a nerd. I'm like, well, you know what? Long-haired nerd then.
You're right, because I did my homework. I was a nerd just because I did my homework, the basics. So,
yeah, man, ain't nothing wrong doing your homework. I just wanted to pass.
Right, I was graduate. Right.
I thought it was cool to get good grades.
That's right. So I'm not cool unless I'm failing and doing summer school, I guess.
Nah, ain't nothing cool about being dumb.
Not at all.
My family makes fun of me.
Not at all.
Extracurricular activities.
Not at all. And it's crazy. When I was growing up, it wasn't cool to be smart. They called you a nerd. And now it's cool to be smart. So, you know, that's a good thing. I'm glad that has changed. I don't know where along the lines of change. For me, it's always been okay in 100 to pass the next grade. So shout out to everybody that's
ain't
doing
it. Ain't nothing cool about being dumb. And look, if you dumb, you just dumb. And I'm not even saying that to hurt anyone's feeling out there.
Right.
You know, because try harder.
Yeah.
You know, if you get to a point where you're doing school and you're feeling overwhelmed, you just push harder. You'll get those good grades, but you have to put the time into it. It's like, but that's with anything in life.
That's
with music.
Right.
That's acting. That's with being a police officer. I mean, you take time.
That's right. Well, there's a way. And I do appreciate you for spending some time with me tonight and taking it out of your busy schedule. But I also wanted you to mention, these are the things, I'm trying to ask you things that nobody can really just Google and find, because you can pretty much, like you said, you're all over the internet. It's crazy, everybody. If you Google Cudacy, it even has www.cudacy.com. So you can pretty much find you everywhere. That's right. Tell me about your movie projects, what you've done and what you've got coming out and what you're working on, because you actually act and you're very good at it.
Wow. You know what? Okay. I'm going to tell the people. Let's see. Where to start? I'll say this. I want to do something different with the music. I want to bring back short films to music. I want to bring those back to music. I want to bring back true entertainment. You know, everyone's different, but I want to bring it back.
That's right.
No, my bad. Yeah, let me keep going. I'm sorry. definitely, I want to bring the short films back. I think, you know, the whole video with a bunch of girls, yeah, that's cool and all, and a bunch of cars. I think it's getting monotonous, to the point where it's getting monotonous. I think we need to get back to storytelling and to giving the people something, hope, giving them, you know, something to see, something they can talk about the next day and then the next day and watch it again the next day. I think it's time for artists that's quote-unquote actors, I think it's time for us to step it up in our own stuff. You know, I think it's time for us to bring short films to our own music. You know, like Michael Jackson, you know? And I know I always reference to that man, but, you know, he did a lot, and he pretty much inspired a lot of new things and new ideas. But I'm on the acting side now as well. You know, I haven't fully just jumped into a lot of movies just yet, but I was actually in an independent film I did a year ago called The Secrets of Benzie. Not sure when that drops. It kind of don't tell you everything.
Mate.
Yeah, pretty much, right? And then I'm just ready to bring stories to music. You know, not necessarily just, you know, trying to speak about saving the world and everything, but I mean just bring something new to the entertainment, you know, maybe not necessarily new. Let's bring more to the entertainment. You know, I'm also dipping into the pop side, you know, the pop side of music. So I'm doing pretty much everything now. You know, I kind of call it hip hop. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And it definitely, it suits that. It really does. I like listening to your music. I always have, and you bring a uniqueness and a different market to where we really can't fit you in anything, and that's a great thing when you don't have anything someone can fit you into and have a, you know, say, well, he kind of sound like, you don't sound like a Pitbull, you don't sound like a 50 Cent, you know, you really can't pinpoint it, so I think that's great. And you're onto something great and always have been. So looking forward to that. Yes, and this is the honest. You know, I give my honest opinion as long as you've known me back in the MySpace days as well. I've been giving my honest opinion. So I'm.
That's true because, you know, you're pretty straightforward.
I really am. And also, I wanted to ask you, what are you working on now, music-wise, as far as you said you wanted to come out and do something different and go back to the days where people were actually doing movies, but what are you doing right now as far as what is the single that you're pushing? What is the next video dropping?
You know what? I'm going to be honest with the people out there. We're pretty much in stages of deciding. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's a few that we have in mind. There's one called Nothing Like This.
The one we played tonight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much. you know, there's another one I have, another one with another artist named Lil Larry, who's actually signed to the biggest country label in the world.
Wow.
Fact, with Garth Brooks, yeah, with Garth Brooks and all that, and we decided, you know, to put our minds together and create a good pop song, and it's really a lot of songs that we have a hard time choosing. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? Because, but that's good. You know,
it is.
Because, you know, if you can just say, okay, that one, then guess what? You're, yeah, okay. You
right.
But, you know,
right.
We have a hard time. Like, we were having the hardest time right now. And honestly, I you know, we might probably start with Nothing Like This. And I think I'll go ahead and get the writers to figure out something what we want to do visually to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's different, but at the same time, creative, and everyone can get into it. So it just might start off with Nothing Like This. We might start off with that first.
All right. So that's where you are. That's where you're going. Where do you see, kind of see the brand moving forward within these next few years? What is the goal?
You know what? This is crazy. I know it's about to sound crazy, but I'm going to tell y'all some of my goals. And I actually keep this private, but, you know, I'm going to say it out loud because they say, whatever you say and you speak shall come into existence.
That's
and
right.
That.
That's
and,
right.
One of my goals, which is about to sound crazy, is to build the brand of Courtesy so huge to the point that I have an action figure made after me. So that's one of them.
Once I get
the action figure, once we do the short film, you know, and I get the action figure, you know, that's going to be one of the goals. I want some Grammys. You know, I want a lot of Grammys. I want a lot of those. We've looking into the information and I mean the business on that, and we're ready to push forward. And wow. Oh, I also want a Hollywood star on the Walk of Fame in LA. Yeah, I want
nice.
One of those. So yeah, we're working on those. We're working on that.
I can't say you wouldn't be on the show if I didn't think that you would. Well, I'm not gonna say that because I do have people on that are trying to get, you know, brand themselves. But you're someone who I think I've told you about the show months ago, and I definitely wanted to get you on it. I'm kind of saving you. No, I really did. I thought about you. There's a couple of people on my list that I keep handy in my head. People I've ran across
in
the
notebook.
Right.
Oh.
And you were one of them again, especially since you were the first, one of the first few people, if not the very first, it was yourself and Mims, the first few people I met. And just networking, and networking has got me so far, and I've seen you and saw you grow and your work ethic then and now, and it's been consistent, and it's, you know, it's gotten you far, so I can't see that being too far off, especially the action figure. I can see that happening real quick.
Oh, yeah. I'm waiting for that one. I seen something one day, and I was like, man, you know what, I want an action figure made after myself. I know that sounds kind of,
no.
Conceited. But, you know, I want to give the kids, you know, I love the kids. I want them to enjoy, you know, different things and have someone to look up to. So that's why I said, let's get it back to the true entertainment and short
right.
film so we can get these kids, you know, excited again.
Absolutely. Well, it was such a pleasure to have you on the show. I don't want to keep you too long.
You're fine. I blocked out the whole night and said, you know what, as long as you need, I'm here.
Oh, you did? That is so special.
Whatever other questions you want to give it, you better ask them now.
Oh, my goodness. No, we'll do a part two. I will do a poll from your fans. We could do a part two, and I will do a poll from your fans. What do you know? How about this? Is Cudahy dating, and what is his look?
Wow.
This is just a...